back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
It's 9:35, 25 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and it's our monthly check-in with the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. And joining us live in studio, we have Ryan Tarrant. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm great. Good spring day here, Mark.
Oh, man. You know, for those of us, I'm not sure if you're in this, in this area, if you want to get your shanty out and go ice fishing yet. Are you into that yet or no?
I am not an ice fisher, no. Okay. I don't do anything in the cold.
Oh, man. So I'm looking outside at all the snow melting. I'm like, man, I hope that ice sticks.
Yeah,
I hope
well,
it sticks.
And I grew up in Bay City, and every year in Bay City, there were guys who would get stuck on the ice floe and have to get rescued by the Coast Guard every single year.
Yeah, I wait until I see a handful of people out there before I decide to venture out. But, hey, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Greater Jackson Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pretty good year. But we also have, you've got new people.
We do have new people.
On Michigan Avenue. What's going on?
Well, Tim Booth, after, 6 or 7 years, has decided he's going to retire next year. And so we had the opportunity to bring somebody new on board to help lead our events and do the business and community engagement. And so I know we have Melissa Burgett joining us.
New to the chamber, but not new to Jackson. Melissa, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mark. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you here. And welcome to the chamber.
Thank you so much.
So what's it been like? I know you're in the office now. We've got kind of like a little bit of overlap with what Tim's doing, with what you're doing. So how have things been going so far?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Tim has been a great mentor so far. Very well, very, very thorough with the explanation of what I need to do. But we know, and Mark, I know you've talked about this already, Tim's got big shoes to fill. I've got very big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Well, having been in a similar situation, you just got to wear your own shoes. You just got to wear your own shoes and make it your own. But yeah.
Yep. That's right. You lean into your own skill sets and make it your own.
Well, let's talk about that because you've been doing quite a bit of community engagement leading up to this point. Tell our listeners where it is that you come from for those who don't know.
That's fair. So I'm coming from Orthopedic Rehab Specialist, where I was their community outreach coordinator. And I think from a community engagement, the biggest piece that people will remember is that I was in charge of the ORS race series, the 13 races here in Jackson County, throughout the year. So very, very excited to continue those skill sets and with the relationships that I built while at ORS, to bring those further and to facilitate those and foster those relationships here at the chamber.
Absolutely. So, Ryan, tell us what it's like having Melissa in the office.
It's been great. I mean, to be able to have that transition period where she and Tim can work together, up until Tim's last day, which is January 16th with the MLK Diversity Breakfast, and so from there on out, it's going to be Melissa's show, and we're excited for that to happen.
Yeah.
Sad to see Tim go, obviously, but phenomenal career. He's an icon in the community, and just looking forward to what 2026 is going to bring.
All right, excited, Melissa. Tell me what you're looking forward to in the coming year.
There's so many exciting things happening in Jackson. I feel like I'm coming in at a really pivotal point in the times, and I'm just really excited to work alongside Ryan and everyone here at the chamber to really take those initiatives to those next levels. So that's really what I'm excited for.
All right.
Yeah, working at the chamber is like working in dog years, and so next year will be the first year she gets to experience that. So
and that's what it's supposed to be like at the chamber. It's supposed to be busy and engaged.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Well, Melissa, welcome, and we're looking forward to working with you. Any parting thoughts for our listeners before we let you go?
Oh, 2026 is going to be an exciting year. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Melissa. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you.
That's Melissa Burgett joining us here, new to the chamber. And, Ryan, it's been an interesting week when it comes to things from Lansing to impacting things here in the greater Jackson area. And I started the show off today saying, hey, I'm going to have Ryan in, and we're going to talk about this. So let's talk about the $4.5 million that is now not coming to the Hayes Hotel project. And I know you and Kathy had some meetings on that this week.
Yep. So I met with Kathy. I've had some conversations with her as well as Senator Schenck. This is all related to the House Republican on the Appropriations Committee, sort of canceling out $645 million of state funding for different work projects and items in the 2025 budget. So the 25 budget ended on September 30th. These were dollars that had not been spent. From talking to people around the state, it's sort of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Talking to one of my peers, there's actually a bridge that was a state bridge that was demolished, and there was $1.6 million in the budget to help with some of the local costs on that. The bridge no longer exists right now, and now the money went away. And so, how do you fill that budget gap in a small community? And so, you're seeing this around the state. I think there's a lot of questions around, what's going to happen? How do these dollars move forward? There's discussion about, is there going to be a supplemental budget bill early part of next year that'll be subject to the 45-day window where those projects have to be applied for 45 days in advance. You have to go in and testify, and then they'll go back and restore some of that funding. There's questions about, some of those dollars that maybe are under contract with the state and with, communities or private entities. So, I think the conversations to now have been productive, but, I think the bigger concern and what I've shared with Representative Schmaltz and with Senator Schenck is that, we're supportive of restoring all of that funding. It's not just this funding for the Hayes Hotel here in Jackson. I know the JSO had some dollars in there. There was some question about Andy's Place, which I know I saw an article this morning when I got up that they had already spent that money and built out the building. So, that's great. They're doing incredible work, but, Residents in Action is another one. Mm-hmm. But if we don't restore all of that funding that was sort of promised, and you and I were talking about this before we jumped on, it sort of opens Pandora's box for, how do you budget in good faith and or negotiate in good faith on a budget? And what does retribution look like in the future? I mean, we've seen these political dynamics play out in the past. And, I think it's just unfortunate for a lot of these great programs.
Right. Well, you had a much better way of presenting it than I did, because I basically said it was crap. No, I do appreciate the conservative mindset behind it and wanting to be fiscally responsible and wanting to eliminate waste. I understand where the decisions came from. I get it. But when you blow up a promise is a promise, whether it's a good one or a bad one, it was still money that was promised out. And like you just said, you just blew up a whole bunch of plans all across the state without really even getting into the nitty gritty and looking at what you're doing.
Yeah.
That part of it was very irresponsible. Yeah, some waste is eliminated, but there was a lot of other good projects there that were eliminated also.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it should be a scalpel, not a hatchet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're looking at those things, we've seen some of the bad news on some of these over the past year. We all remember the Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska, hundreds of million dollars for, literally an island that had 50 people living on it with an international airport. So I agree with the changes that they've made, to have that 45-day window, to have to testify. I mean, we should be defending these things. I mean, they should be seen as good projects. And, I always look at those projects as they should be something that's transformational for a community.
Right. Well, and it should have been September 30th moving forward and not a retroactive type thing. So
right.
From the meetings that you had with Senator Schenck and with Representative Schmaltz, was there any call to action that came out of that?
So we're really laying the groundwork right now that if there's a supplemental, we want to make sure that we're prepared for that supplemental to be able to reapply for that funding. Obviously the funding was to go to the city of Jackson. So, that's where it would stay, to be able to not have, a huge lag in the work that was already starting over at the Hayes Hotel. They were already working on, they had to pause that work. It was hammers down last Friday when the news came down and everybody sort of figured out what this was. And, when you've had a building that's been vacant for 20 plus years and, you've got work going on and, it's the closest we've been. It's really, kind of disappointing. To see that, like I said, transformational project, right?
It's absolutely disappointing.
Yeah. So, and I've only been here for 2 years. I mean, everybody else has been watching this thing deteriorate for 20 plus.
Right. Yeah. And well, it's one of the things we have talked about forever here in Jackson. Mm-hmm. So we just want to,
Yep.
Well, all right. Before we move on to parking.
Everybody's favorite subject.
No, because for some of the comments that I've heard from some people, this is just like the final nail in the coffin for the Hayes. From what they, it's like, my gosh, kind of like what you just alluded to. We've been dealing with this forever. Mm-hmm. Let's just blow the thing up. Let's just have it fall down. Let's just knock the building down at this point, because we've gone through this so many times. Nothing's going to happen to it. What do you say to those who are just ready? You know, this is it. Frustrations are at mm-hmm. their limit. They just want to be done with the Hayes at this point.
You know, I'll give you my personal opinion on it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in Bay City. I was born in Detroit, lived down there. I mean, you see all of this historic architecture. I mean, we've all seen on, you know, social media, the before and after pictures of some of those neighborhoods in Detroit that had those mm-hmm. big, beautiful houses. And now, you know, they're just vacant fields. And, you know, once you tear down a historic building like that, you're never going to be able to build it again. Mm. You know, it's never going to come back. And so, you know, I think we need as a community to, you know, all sort of band together and say, hey, we need this to happen. And, you know, we want that funding restored, because, you know, that's the quickest way to get there.
Okay.
So
you feel like it will be restored?
I'm always an optimist. Glasses always half full.
Look at you.
And I'm also the person who, if it doesn't happen this year, then, well, we'll take another crack at it next year.
Gotcha. All right. Parking. We had Greg Walker on earlier today, mm-hmm. Talking about some of the great things that Bellinote has for New Year's Eve, but the conversation went to parking. It just feels like, and even earlier in the week, we had Daniel Mahoney on. We can't make anybody happy with the parking. Businesses aren't happy with the assessments, and now you've got people coming to downtown, and businesses not happy with customers going to be charged the way they are going to mm-hmm. be charged for parking. So it's a situation where nobody's happy, but we still got to charge for parking, right?
Right. I mean, you know, the city still needs to come up with, you mm-hmm. know, $600,000+ to, you know, do some infrastructure work downtown on the parking lots that they own. You know, as you know, the downtown businesses have always had these parking assessments to mm-hmm. help cover that. When the city passed the parking meters and then rescinded that decision, you know, I heard some talking about, well, you know, the other way to get there besides meters was to triple that assessment. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at some of these small businesses that would have been paying, in addition to their property taxes on their building, another $15,000 to $17,000 mm-hmm. in some cases in parking assessments. And so, you know, just unsustainable for a small business. And so that was why the chamber, you know, sort of looked at it and said, okay, how do we balance this out? You know, businesses can't take the entire brunt of this, or we're not going to have businesses downtown. And so, you know, looking at the fines, looking at some of the parking passes and different things, you know, and so we mm-hmm. publicized that plan. Ultimately, a lot of what was in that was passed. And so this week they went back and made some additional tweaks, because mm-hmm. you're right. I mean, we don't want meters. We don't want triple assessments. And, you know, apparently we didn't want some of the other pieces too. And so, you know, I look at the things that the mayor and the council did this week. You know, instead of 6 o'clock, it's now mm-hmm. 5 o'clock for enforcement ending. I think there's no Saturday enforcement.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, those are all good things. You know, the key wins here are businesses are going to be able to continue on as mm-hmm. they were without tripling their assessments. You know, people are still going to have their 2 hours of free parking, and it's done in a way that, you know, still allows people to come downtown. I mean, I right. think they even reduced the daily pass to $7. So, you know, when you think about that, those people that were staying for more than 2 hours who are getting right. the parking ticket, you basically just get to get your parking ticket now.
Right.
So.
Right, right. Well, and I think what a lot of people might be overlooking, mm-hmm. now that they moved it to 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
yep. you park downtown at 3. Yeah. I mean, that's basically your deadline at that point, 3.
Yes.
And you've got
yeah.
free parking for the rest of the afternoon into the mm-hmm. evening.
And, so. And they've added another lot over by the mm-hmm. by the Y that is
right.
free.
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, 9A, which is over near the Foundry, and then they've got the one over by the Y. So you've got a couple of lots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always free parking nights and weekends at the consumer's parking
right.
structure. You know, so, you know, you have plenty of options now, I think, and I think, you know, they've sort of landed
well,
in a good place.
Where the city set this up to give themselves really some trouble is they never really were writing those tickets in the first place, and people got complacent and you know, with, you know, being able to have the 2 hours plus mm-hmm. not getting fined for it, and now all of a sudden, well, we're going to start fining you. And you got a lot of people upset about that.
Yeah, as we did the research and talked to businesses and residents and others, it was, you know, the enforcement piece was a big part of it. And so, you know, in talking to the city, you know, they understood that. I've seen it come up at council meetings that they need to make sure they're enforcing those things. And so, you know, I think enforcement's a key. And, you know, the hope is we get a year of data on this of, you know, okay, how much was raised for those lots, and now can we start to reduce some of those, you know, additional assessments that businesses are paying?
9:50, 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. We have Ryan Tarrant in the studio with us from the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. Drive Jackson, is that what we're talking about next?
We can talk about Drive Jackson.
Where are we at with Drive Jackson right now?
So our key leadership committee wrapped up their work on the plan on December 5th. So a couple of weeks ago, they wrapped up. And now it's in the hands of our consultant, who's taking those 1,300 individual engagements that we had from community members, the thousands and thousands of comments that committee sort of worked through, and we're starting to put pen to paper with those of, you know, this is what we heard, this is what the community needs. And so, you know, there's sort of four goal buckets, if you will, you know, the quality of life and amenities. We've got education and workforce, housing and economic vitality, and then, you know, kind of that, you know, public safety, some of those pieces, you know, health and wellness, that are the big overarching buckets. And then those are getting filled in with some different strategies of how we improve those. Right. And so, you know, that's going to be rolled out publicly on February 11.
Okay. And when do we decide, okay, you over here, you're going to be in charge of this. You over here, we want you to do this part. Hey, you're going to fill this bucket here. I mean, when does that happen?
That's one of the things that we've asked from the consultant is, you know, there's sort of a matrix that, if you will, that kind of looks at all of these different goals and strategies and says, you know, who kind of owns this? You know, who's doing this work already in the community is best suited. And so, you know, that's where, you know, we'll have the plan internally probably sometime in early January. And so we'll start having some of those conversations to kind of fill out that matrix. Gotcha. And the other important thing is to take a look at it and say, okay, what's the impact? How many dollars have been spent in this area? What's that economic impact? And what are the improvements we're seeing?
Okay.
So, and the big thing, why this plan is different. We have a fellow starting through the Community Growth Academy on January 6th.
Okay.
Lexi Milliken, who is a Parma Western graduate, who just graduated from U of M with a master's degree and has been working for the Michigan Growth Office.
Okay.
And so her whole job for 15 months is going to be, how do we implement and move this thing forward so that it's ingrained in the community over the next year?
Nice. All right. So again, February 11th.
February 11th at our Victory Lap.
Okay. Mark that on your calendar. Anything left? We got just like a minute left. Anything left untouched here? Or?
We're open for MLK breakfast tickets.
Okay.
January 16, Dr. George Grant from Saginaw Valley State University, the president of the university, will be our keynote speaker this year.
Is that going to be back at the American One Event Center?
Back at the American One. Expect to sell out again.
Of course. Always is. Always a great time.
Get your tickets early.
All right. And that's on the website, right?
That is on the website.
All right. Very good. Ryan, as always, a pleasure. Have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for being here.
Merry Christmas to you, Mark.
News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.